Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
And welcome to Switzerland in Sound. This is Bob Zanotti. On a beautiful, sunny, pleasant day, blue sky in eastern Switzerland. Right now we're in the city of St. Gallen. St. Gallen, G-A-L-L-E-N, also sometimes called in English St. Gall, because it was named after the Irish monk St. Gall, or Gallus, as he was known. We're very close to Austria, we're very close to Germany, we're very close to the independent nation, the Principality of Liechtenstein. We're also very close to the Lake of Constance, the large lake north of here, not very far away, which actually is shared by Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. I just got off the train from the Bern area after a beautiful trip over here, and here to meet me just outside the station is Kathleen Schwangener. And Kathleen is a native of St. Gallen. Kathleen, welcome to Switzerland and Sound.
Welcome.
And you're grinning ear to ear there because I know you love your city.
That's right.
Before we hear all about the delights of St. Gallen, and it's a beautiful place, I always enjoy coming here, I hope that you'll tell us about the St. Gallus connection.
It's a very interesting story. Gallus was a religious monk from Ireland, and in the beginning of the 7th century there was a movement starting in Ireland. A lot of people like him left the beautiful green island because they had a vision. They were absolutely convinced the more difficult life on earth is, the better it will be afterwards in paradise.
Sounds like karma.
Yes.
The Hindus say the same thing.
Yes, the same mentality somehow. And so those Irish men became voluntarily homeless, and they're looking for...
They wanted to suffer.
Yes, they wanted to suffer. They were looking for specially unfriendly spots to stay.
Yeah, but the St. Gallen is so beautiful.
Today,
it's pleasant.
But in the year 612, when Gallus came here, it was a virgin forest. Nobody was living here. Rough climate. Only wild animals in the forest.
He decided to stay. What made him stay?
Yeah, he was looking for a place to stay, but at that time you needed a sign from God when you wanted to found an abbey somewhere. And the story...
Some kind of a miracle or something.
Sometime a miracle, yeah. A sign from God. And our story, I think it's especially beautiful. It's a typical story of the Middle Ages. So when Gallus came here, he struggled, he fell down, and when he got up again...
He fell into a briar patch,
yes, exactly,
or something, didn't he?
That's right. You are very well informed.
Oh, well, I've been here before.
So when he finally got up again, a big bear approached, and Gallus was terribly frightened. He did not know what to do, so he started to talk to the animal, and a miracle happened. The two could communicate. And being a man in the early Middle Ages, Gallus, the interpretation Gallus gave to this event was very, very clear for him. This was the miracle he was waiting for.
This was the sign.
This was the sign.
And then he founded a monastery or an abbey, right?
Yes, he founded first a little hermit cell, and out of it grew then one of the most important cultural centers in the early Middle Ages, north of the Alps, the Abbey of St. Gallen.
I believe you have some very, very precious manuscripts, all handwritten, and it's part of the reason why UNESCO has designated St. Gallen as a World Heritage Site.
That's right. It's absolutely unique. Here in our Abbey Library, which is in the former Abbey building, you found the most important and most impressive collection of early manuscripts written in the 8th, 9th century. We have more than 2,000. The originals are still here, and all manuscripts you can look at are the oldest, the most beautiful, or the only existing in the world.
Are they all religious manuscripts?
No. You must imagine this was a knowledge center. It was a school. The educated monks were really transmitting all knowledge, a very broad knowledge, the seven liberal arts, for instance.
The early humanities.
Exactly,
yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, the monks were the keepers of knowledge at the time, weren't they?
They were.
That was almost a sacred job of theirs.
Somehow, but you know, maybe thanks to Charlemagne, and St. Gallen really was blooming during the period of Charlemagne, because he was absolutely convinced that knowledge has to be given to the people. Mm-hmm. And this is why St. Gallen became a powerful center. Kings and emperors came here to have access to knowledge. And very often the abbot of St. Gallen was at the same time also the advisor of the king or emperor.
You mentioned the monks and education and the preservation and dissemination of knowledge, but this tradition lives on today. You have a very important university here.
Yes, we have a very important university, but the university has actually more to do with the textile industry. Because the textile industry, when you're looking around, you see wonderful buildings, was the marking industry of this city.
It's true. One of the most striking things about St. Gallen is the buildings. They are so grand. They are so fine. The decorations. It bespeaks a lot of richness and almost extravagance. I always wondered why.
Yes, the inhabitants of St. Gallen actually throughout the centuries they were quite wealthy due to the textile industry. In the Middle Ages linen was produced because due to the rough climate it was absolutely ideal to plant hemp and flax here.
Or you froze to death.
Exactly. But then cotton, you know, conquered the world, and nowadays then embroidery became very, very important. And 100 years ago, more than 50% of the world production of embroidery, for instance, was produced.
50, half the world's production.
Yes, was produced here in St. Gallen and its surrounding. And coming back to university, the textile businessmen, which were so successful all over the world, they have branch offices in New York, in Washington, overseas. They wanted to install a university in their city so their sons are getting a better education. Mm-hmm. You know, this was the idea.
And the one here is specialized in business management, economics, also
social science,
studies.
Law, yes, yeah. Yes. It's a very, it's a little Harvard, actually.
In fact, it's called that, the little Harvard, yeah.
Yes, it's also, it's in the rating list, it's always number one, you know.
With all of this history and economic importance, you must have a lot of people from all over the world coming here.
Yes, we have. Many come due to the Abbey Library, because they are interested in those wonderful and unique manuscripts. But we have a lot of trade here too today. Today it's a diversification, you find everything here. It's not only a textile industry, we have a chemical industry, we have a lot of banks, insurance companies here, hospital, a lot of congresses, international congresses and events here. So we are quite, it's not actually a tourist town, you know, it's really a town which is interesting for everybody.
Textiles are no longer as important to the economy of St. Gallen in the area as they used to be. But since then, of course, you've specialized in the production of very high-quality textile machines. Ironically, this has worked against you because they're going to other parts of the world where labor is cheaper, and they send back these high-quality products to you.
That's it. You are perfectly right. But still today, the design, the creation is here in St. Gallen.
We're in the middle of the old town here, away from the noisy main town.
Yes, and it's a mixture of different styles. You find everything in St. Gallen houses. But what's so typical, and this is what I would like to show you, are the bay balconies, as we call them. These wonderful decorations, they are carved, they are made out of wood with very exotic ornaments, because the businessmen were traveling.
Statues, statuettes, the beautiful decorations in gold.
Yes.
Here the continents are depicted,
exactly.
Africa, America, Europe, Asia.
You see, because the businessman of St. Gallen was traveling throughout the world selling his product, he was open-minded, he spoke different languages, and the only purpose of those decorations is to show off, you know?
So this is where I've been.
Exactly.
This is my diary.
Yes.
I've seen the world.
We have 111 of those bay balconies in the old town, so when you walk through St. Gallen, keep your eyes up, you know?
And there's such a beautiful life here in the old town. It's quiet, very little traffic. In fact, I think most of it's barred to traffic, isn't it?
Yes, that's it. That's it. This is
another world.
A very interesting square. I don't know if you can read the
Gruninger Platz. That reminds me that this was the area in the Second World War where so many Jewish refugees crossed over the border from Austria and into Switzerland. And Gruninger was one of the figures of that time. He did a lot to bring them in.
Yes, he was a police commander, and he realized a big problem. And in Switzerland, we had a stop. There was a certain day where no refugees could enter anymore Switzerland.
The door closed.
The door closed, and he did something incredible.
He kept it open.
He kept the door open, and many, many refugees survived thanks to him, and this little square now reminds us.
I'm thinking, Kathleen, that St. Gallen is not just the city, but it's also an area. We mentioned the Lake of Constance before.
Yes.
You have a lot to see between here and Lake Constance, including the lake itself.
Yes, definitely. It's beautiful, the whole landscape.
It's a big lake,
you know,
too.
It's a big lake. I mean, you can swim and sail and,
water
sports, everything you can imagine. The whole surrounding is so nice because you are in 15 minutes up in the Appenzell, where you can hike in summer,
also
ski
famous
in winter,
for embroidery and cheese.
Yeah, exactly. And in
your
10
neighbors.
Minutes you are down at the Lake of Constance to swim, and there are
you
so
go over
many
to
historical
for
places.
Example.
Yes,
yeah.
To, you can go over to Friedrichshafen to Lindau.
Well, they still make the Zeppelins.
Yes, yes. And by the way, speaking of Zeppelins, we have our own little airport in Altenrhein where you can get off to everywhere. You know,
Rorschach is a place I've been to as well. It's right on. It's on the Swiss side, on the lake, and it's beautiful. It has a promenade that goes for miles,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, it's definitely a
mind
very,
you of the Riviera.
Beautiful. It is a little bit, and for us in summer we go down the lake after we worked. You know, at 5-6 o'clock, and we have a swim and we promenade down.
And the water's clean in the lake, isn't it?
The Lake of Constance is one of the cleanest lakes of Europe.
And if you think you need to take the cure, the water, you can go to St. Margrethe, and it's an old, very respected
spa.
Thermal spa.
Yes, we have around St. Gallen, you have different spas, actually, because the water always was very good. This is why we are brewing a very good beer here, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, they say the water makes the beer. And also, I meant to pick up on something I said before.
Yes.
Those beautiful old buildings, those houses, some of them parts of them anyway have been turned into restaurants, so which is very typical of St. Gallen.
Yes,
you don't see this
you,
anywhere else.
No, you mentioned something very, very typical. In the former living rooms, which in St. Gallen in the old houses are always in the upper floor, we have little restaurants, you know, so you really have the feeling you are stepping in the living room of somebody.
I've eaten in one of them. It's so cozy.
Very
you think you're
cozy,
just part of the family.
Nice. Yes, yes. And you sit on big tables and you just sit together. Even if you don't know each other, you say, is this a chair free? And you sit together. You know?
And I know also that St. Gallen, despite its modern nature today, I mean, it's a super modern city, but you have a lot of tradition when it comes to your gastronomy. You're very, very fussy about the quality of food, especially in restaurants. You want home cooking.
Yes.
Everywhere you go.
Yes.
And Eastern
yes.
Switzerland, especially this area, is very well known for it.
Yes, that's right. This is a big advantage, you know, when you go into a restaurant here, you are getting really fresh products, and we have naturally our speciality, our wonderful sausages, the St. Gallen Bratwurst and the Rösti, naturally.
Well, that reminds me of the Olma. That's the annual agricultural fair that brings
yes.
people from all over Switzerland. It's
yes.
so big.
Yes, that's always in October. Yes,
mm-hmm.
This is a very, very nice event. Today you can say it's really an event. You
so
know,
if you want to go to the Oktoberfest in Munich, which
yes.
isn't far,
you can
stop in St. Gallen.
In St. Gallen, that's right, that's
uh-huh.
right.
Well, here we are at the cathedral and also the abbey.
Yes.
I mean, this is huge. I mean, it's like the center of the old city. In
yes,
fact, I guess it is.
It is. It's the heart of St. Gallen. You must imagine exactly where today the wonderful late Baroque cathedral stays. Gallus was constructing his little wooden chapel. So always at the same place the buildings have been constructed. This is actually the fourth building you see. The first one was in 612 constructed by Gallus.
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. Oh, do you have any idea how high those ceilings are?
Yes, it's about 30 meters.
It's about 100 feet.
And the length of the church is 100 meters.
300 feet.
Yes, it's a really outstanding church. It's the latest late Baroque church which has been constructed in Switzerland. It was constructed between 1755 and 1767. And you still feel the importance, you know, when you are looking at the wonderful wonderful decoration, when you're looking at the wonderful ceiling frescoes, I would like to point out the wonderful carvings, when you're looking at the confessionals.
The pews are beautiful.
Yes, and look at the confessionals. We have 8 on the right-hand side, 8 on the left-hand side. The material is walnut tree, wonderfully carved. Each confessional is a unique piece of art.
One thing that does strike one, the beauty is very much within the church, on the ceiling. These paint, I don't know how long this must have taken, years and years and years to finish.
12 years. It was done actually quite in a very short time, because you must imagine at that time the Abbey of St. Gallen was still a very important abbey. It was a very rich abbey. And they could afford the best architect, the best artist came here and contributed. And as it is a church, and naturally they got paid for the work, but it's much more.
It's a devotion.
Yeah,
devotion.
Exactly, yeah.
But no stained glass. That's interesting. It's all clear.
It's all clear. And you mentioned something very, very important. Those huge windows you see, which let all the light in, are a sign that this is already the end of the Baroque period. The next period is Classicism, is staying in front of the door. And we are today very, very lucky that so much light comes into this
it's
church.
It's a very light church. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is important, because very often today when we are in late Baroque churches, we think it's just too much, it's too rich. But due to the light, you feel fine in here, don't you?
It's
a nice atmosphere.
It's an uplifting thing. Yeah. I mean, so many, of course, of the classic European churches that go back so many years have a certain vibration about them. One feels well. There's an uplifting feeling in here.
Yes, definitely.
Because of so many centuries of spirituality. I mean, one does feel it, don't you?
I think so. We feel it still today. And I mean, for me, I'm here in this wonderful cathedral and also in the Abbey Library every day. And for me, it's a privilege, you know.
You never get tired of it.
I never get tired of it, no. I think it's the most wonderful place you can imagine. What I would like to show to you, because we spoke of Gallus, our founder, and something he brought here from Ireland is still here. This is the little bell. I would like to show it to you.
What's the story of this?
Yeah. This is the oldest bell of the continent. This side altar is dedicated to our founder. And here, can you see the little bell?
Yes, yes. It's dark brown.
Yes, it came here in the year 612. And for a long time, we were not sure if it's really the bell of Gallus. But you know, nowadays, you can analyze all materials. Mm-hmm. And now it's scientifically proven it's the oldest bell of the continent.
It almost looks like a very long, straight cowbell,
something like that. And you must realize, for a religious community, it was absolutely essential to have a bell, because you had to ring the bell and then all monks could come together and pray together. Without bell, it wouldn't be possible. So this was something very important. And I would like to show you now, naturally, the Abbey Library. This is really, I mean, the biggest attraction we have here, this unique place. And just next door is the Abbey Library.
Well, we've come out of the cathedral and we've gone right next door now to the Abbey Library. And this, of course, is a very, very important area. This is what it's all about. Those 2,000 handwritten volumes we were talking about before, we had to put on some woolen slippers here, special felt slippers, because what is the reason for that? Because
you
of dirt?
See.
You don't want
to. No,
anything?
No. When we enter the wonderful library hall, you will understand it.
All right. But first, what's this in Greek here?
Yeah, this is a beautiful inscription in Greek. It says Psyches Iatreion. And when you translate it, that means pharmacy for the soul. Why do we have such an inscription?
It's very nice.
It's very nice. But you must imagine, in former time, this was a monastery. The monks were living here. There, at the other side of the entrance, there was the infirmary where the ill monks got medicine.
So
for
it was
their
a play
body.
On words, in a way.
Yes,
yeah. You've done something for your body.
Exactly,
now do something
books
for your soul.
Is something for your soul. So we do not enter a library, we enter a pharmacy of the soul. I think that makes a big difference.
Yes, that's a beautiful thought. Very clever. Okay, here we go. Oh, beautiful wooden floor here. And again, we have frescoes all over the place. The ceilings are full of art and decoration. There's another place very famous in Switzerland we'd like to get to one of these days, and that's Einsiedeln. They're very famous. Also in central Switzerland, they're very famous.
It's very
typical,
famous.
A similar tradition, isn't it?
Similar, also a Benedictine abbey, but only in St. Gallen you find those old manuscripts. They have also a beautiful library, but the fantastic thing is here. This is when you're looking at the room, it's a Rococo room, as we call it. It's wonderfully furnished, you know, but you are so impressed that you nearly forget the manuscripts. The difficult thing about the Abbey Library is you have to separate the room and the books. The room, 18th century, the books, 8th, 9th, 10th century. Mm-hmm. We have today 150,000 books in our Abbey Library, an open, living, lending library. People from all the world are coming here.
Even everybody, these precious volumes.
Yes, everybody has access to our books. And the
somebody has a lot of faith in people.
Yeah, no, we do what we can. You know, security is a very, very difficult thing for us, you know. But on the one hand side, we want that people come and look at our manuscripts, because when you will look at them, you will see it's so outstanding, the insights you are getting.
You want a living library here.
It's a living
library.
It's
not a monument.
Not at all. This is so fascinating, and people are coming here studying. Everybody has access, and from the it's focused on the Middle Ages, you know. And the most important books are the handwritten manuscripts. We have 2,000 of them, most of them written before the year 1000. And we have changing exhibitions here. In former time, this was a working room for the monks, you know. Today, it's an exhibition hall, and we have changing exhibitions in our showcases.
Mm-hmm. I see a visitor here to the library who has documentation in English. I take it you're from an English-speaking country. Where are you from?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
What brought you to St. Gallen?
I'm with another teacher.
So you knew about this place before you came?
Yes, I was taught by a lady here who was bringing me. Yes.
How would you describe your impression of the place?
Overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. Yeah, the first Bible. I'm overwhelmed. Yes.
Okay, she mentioned the wonderful Bible. I'm just picking out a few things for you. This Bible, for instance, here was written in the year 801. Can you imagine? You see here a manuscript written in the year 801. This book has not been written by one writer. Normally a Bible like that was distributed. Each monk was writing 25 pages, more or less, and then at the end it was put together, you know. Today, our specialists, when they are looking at a manuscript like that, they say, this manuscript has been written by seven hands. That means seven monks
different
were involved.
Writers.
Normally they do not sign. We hardly know anything about those writers. They were so humble, you know, they were just doing their work. But sometimes they are making remarks, you know, personal remarks, and they are very funny. They give us a lot of insight. Sometimes in the middle of the Bible you can see a remark saying, thanks God it becomes dark and I can stop to write.
They actually wrote those things.
Yes, they wrote those things.
An ancient form of graffiti, in a way.
Yes, yes, this is a very nice. So this is an outstanding book, because something else you must realize when you're looking at those manuscripts, they are all written on parchment. Mm-hmm. Parchment is a wonderful material. If you keep it in a dry place,
it's like new,
they last forever. We have much more problems with the books printed on paper, you know.
Especially the acid problem.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We have no problem here. Parchment is made out of animals, normally sheep, you know. So this wonderful Bible here has 660 pages. You had to kill, what do you think, how many sheep you had to kill to get 660 pages.
Yeah, it's a bit off-putting when you think of that.
Yeah, but you have to think of that.
Well, that was the age, wasn't it? That's
yes,
the
exactly,
way it was. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But as we mentioned that Gallus was the founder, I would like to show you Irish handwritten manuscripts. We have more Irish handwritten manuscripts in St. Gallen than you find today in Dublin, in Trinity College. You know why?
Well, I think it's because it has something to do with Gallus being Irish.
Gallus being Irish, but the problem was in Ireland, you know, after Gallus came here, the Vikings invaded Ireland and they destroyed nearly everything. And many monks came as refugees to St. Gallen, as it was an Irish foundation, and they brought books from Ireland with them. Thanks God they brought the books with them, because here they survived.
Oh, so they weren't written here, they were brought here largely.
Brought here, they were written in Ireland and they were brought here. Now, this book I show you here was written in Ireland in the year 790.
Look, the beautiful artwork as well.
Absolutely outstanding. Look at the colors, you know, look at the quality, the typical Irish ornamentation. And this was actually the point of departure. Thanks to those wonderful handwritten books which the Irish monks brought here, St. Gallen developed and became such a powerful center.
Out of all of these books here, all of these documents, all of these manuscripts, is it possible to put your finger on one or two and say they are the most important?
It's very difficult. For instance, St. Gallen has a few things which are really outstanding. These are the Irish handwritten manuscript. Then we have a wonderful music books, song books. Maybe I can show you one. We have the first musical notations are here in St. Gallen. What you see here, for instance, when you're looking at this wonderfully illustrated and illuminated book, you see on top of the Latin text, by the way, all books in the Middle Ages are written on Latin, actually, you see those funny signs. This is a Gregorian chant. This is actually music.
Those squiggles almost look like...
like shorthand, I always
shorthand
say.
Shorthand or hieroglyphics, almost.
Yeah, somehow. But the interesting thing is, in the Middle Ages, there was no possibility to write down music. The musical notes, as we know them, have not been invented yet. Mm-hmm. The monks had to memorize the melodies, you know, with their ears, and it happened very often that they forgot them. And here in St. Gallen, they did something beautiful. They tried to write down music. So those signs are nothing else than to help the singer if he has to go up with his voice, if it stays at the same level or if it goes down. And we call this funny writing pneuma, neumes. It comes from the Greek again and means sign. Signs for the singer. So that we can sing today
the intonations
with all, chants, all over the world. It's only due to St. Gallen, for instance.
But it was put down.
Yeah, here in St. Gallen it was put down.
So we know exactly the way it was intended to be sung.
Yes.
We could go on and on and on,
yes,
Kathleen
definitely.
Schwanninger, but I'm afraid we have to end somewhere, very reluctantly. Let's hope that whoever is listening to this will come over here and pick up where we leave off. Thank you so much, Kathleen, for being on Switzerland in Sound to show us around your town, your city, St. Gallen, the metropolis in eastern Switzerland, which, as we've heard today, has so much to see, and there are so many reasons to come and see it. From St. Gallen, eastern Switzerland, or Switzerland in Sound, this is Bob Zanotti.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs, SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.